so, but it's amazing to me, though, as soon as this whole corona thing started, it's like we acted as if there weren't these things called treatments. Like, listen, I'm not a doctor, which might be, maybe that's why I actually believe in, you know, thinking for yourself. But one thing that's been crazy to me is it's obvious that anti-inflammatory things will help with inflammation. I mean, that seems pretty simple. If you have swelling, you take something that stops swelling. A couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I was playing in a parish soccer match, and I felt a little click in the old knee, the old faithful who's had a couple surgeries on her. And it was fine, but you know, it caused some swelling. The other day I was running, and I probably told the story before on the show this week, but I felt a little bit more snap, crackle, pop, and no structural damage or anything like that, but it's probably just a running injury or something. I try not to take pain medications too often. I mean, for one, as an ascetical practice, you know, in my small way, I try to imitate the children at Fatima. I don't put rocks in my shoes because I'm not as much of a saint at all, but compared to those children. Speaking of Fatima, it's the anniversary of the miracle of the sun, so that's pretty cool. But you know, if I have manageable pain, I just try to not take pain medicine, just because I say, you know, every time I take this step, it reminds me of, you know, suffering, and that's a good thing as a Catholic, fine. But the other day, I can't remember what we had to do. My knee was swollen, and I was not able to extend it all the way, and, you know, without a bunch of stretching and stuff. And I said, I'm just going to take a couple of Leave, and I'm going to take a couple of Advil. Well, lo and behold, I took a couple of those, which is naproxen and ibuprofen, and my knee felt a lot better. Now, these medications, they don't only affect one area of the body. Whatever they do, it's beyond my capacity, but they basically help with swelling because they deal with that mechanism in the body. Well, if your lungs are swollen, I mean, I've had strep throat multiple times. If your throat's really swollen, it can actually be hard to breathe if your throat's really swollen. And one of the things that you can do is you can take an anti-inflammatory. It actually stops the swelling and you can breathe easier. I mean, an anti-inflammatory helps with inflammation. So we were talking about ivermectin a little bit. This is one of the reasons why I've been, I write articles about that stuff all the time. I had to write an article yesterday about Pierre Corey, the guy who started the FLCCC, the Frontline Critical Care, Frontline COVID Critical Care Alliance, FLCCC Alliance. And they've been advocating for ivermectin and stuff like that. And you know what? It looks like ivermectin from the research for over the years, it's just like a really good antiviral. So for a virus, an antiviral seems like it'll work well. It could be that it beats COVID specifically. It could just be that it's for cold and flu viruses, because lo and behold, an antiviral is good for viruses. But my point is, since the beginning of this whole thing, I mean, it was like we acted as if there was no such thing as a cure. And I'm thinking, my goodness gracious, if this thing is as serious as they're saying, give the people high doses of steroids, that breathe a ton of, you know, steroids, and take some prednisone or whatever. Take some Advil, some Tylenol, some naproxen. Load them up, and if this is just something that's going to kick your keister for a few days, just load up and you'll be fine. I mean, that seems like basic. I've been on missions before, medical missions, and that's pretty much what doctors do when they're on missions. The last time that I was in Mexico, Mexico City, we were in Nezahualcóyotl. Neza, it's a dump. Literally, it's a garbage dump. People don't live in the garbage dump because that would be, you know, you couldn't. They live near the garbage dump, like in the sort of vicinity. They technically have some sort of license where they're able to, basically what they do is they just go through the garbage dump. They separate things and they sell them. So in a way, they're like metal pickers or whatever. By the way, if you have metal to get rid of, it's a high price right now. I got rid of some the other day and I was astonished. I mean, I got like $20 for like four things from my garage that didn't weigh very much. It was amazing. I've been there on medical missions to Mexico City. We set up these tents in these shanty towns. And the last year that I was there, the group of high school students and myself and the chaperones, we all got, you know, we all got some sort of virus. You know, we all caught something. It was some sort of stomach virus, something or other, kicked your butt, gave you headaches, made you throw up, that sort of thing. It wasn't Montezuma's revenge. We were very good on not drinking the water, but we were sick. Anyway, when I was in the tent, I felt myself getting an inkling of that. And because I was in a position of chaperone authority and stuff, I thought, man, I was a translator. El traductor. I couldn't allow myself to get too sick, so I basically went to my nurse friend who was there. He actually graduated from Steubenville, a good faithful Catholic guy. And I said, man, I'm about to get hit by a bus. I can just tell it. I know what this is like. What can you do for me? And he basically said, here's a Z-Pak, which is just a combination of antibiotic stuff. Here's a bunch of other stuff. This is what we do. This is what we learn to do basically in triage medicine when somebody has something serious, and you shouldn't do it all the time, but you know, it won't hurt you long term if you have it a couple times in your life. That was kind of the idea. That's basically what he said. Well, it seems like, I mean, I was talking to people in the hospitals, and I'm like, what do you do for people when they come in with the Rona? What do you do for people when they come in with the Wu flu? And they made it seem like you couldn't do anything. And I thought, okay, this thing is a virus. If it's a virus, it will act like a virus. So you use things that you use for viruses. I mean, forgive me if that sounds a little bit too commonsensical. Well, it looks like that's what's happening with ivermectin usage because it's an antiviral. And there's lots of research going back years that it was just generally good for other viruses. So it makes sense to be good for this one. So it very well could be, if this corona thing is what they're saying it is in some capacity, it could just be that, you know, ivermectin is especially good at treating it. When you look at the reluctance of all these drug companies to use ivermectin, you know that it's not because it's dangerous. It's been used every day. Literally, I think in parts of Africa, they call it the Sunday pill. It helps with parasites and things. It's like every Sunday, everyone takes a dose of it or something as a prophylactic. So obviously, it's not going to hurt you long term. It actually is a pretty amazing medicine. I've looked into it. So as far as aspirin's the same thing. So I wonder if these drug companies, as I would imagine, especially as I learned about, for example, here in Canada, They pay to play in order to have new drugs on the market, and that funds the federal government, which gives the federal government incentive to approve their new drugs, and it's around the merry-go-round until we all go insane. And that seems to be the way. Well, what about new usages of drugs? That's another way of doing it, and it seems like this is what's happening in aspirin. Here's an article. I'm not going to read it because it's like some, you know, medical journal, whatever. It's this is from 2017. Viral activity of aspirin against RNA viruses of the respiratory tract. The conclusions, it says, these data demonstrate a specific antiviral activity of aspirin against influenza A virus and HRV. The mode of action against rhinoviruses, that's the summer cold, is still unknown and requires further investigation, as is the possibility of aspirin being effective, et cetera, for the cold. Here is another one. This is from PubMed, and it's a reprint of that same one, and it goes into different details, basically saying the same thing. Here's one going back all the way to 1990, and antiviral activity and cytotoxicity of aspirin, et cetera, talks about it with rhinovirus and influenza, this, that, and the other thing. You know, you find these things all over the place. And then, of course, the COVID game got into it. I read you that article yesterday talking about the corruption in the scientific community. In early 2020, you have protective effect of aspirin on COVID-19 in patients. This is from clinicaltrials.gov. Goes over how it could be useful, this and their thing. Again, what are we dealing with here, folks? We don't even know what we're dealing with when it comes to the cold and the flu, or sorry, when it comes to the coronavirus. It could just be the cold and flu, and people are getting tested with these PCR tests, and they pet a dog who happened to have a dog cold, and they did enough rotations on the thing, and it turned out they had coronavirus on the PCR test. I mean, it could just be that, and it could be that aspirin is being given to people who come into the hospital. They are either diagnosed by the doctor who says, yes, in their opinion, you have all the symptoms of coronavirus, which are coincidentally all the same symptoms as the cold and flu. Therefore, you have corona, or we'll have to assume that you do, and then we put them down. You know, this has just been going on this whole time. So we're going to have Dr. Rob talk about this after the break. I actually want to get his thoughts on this idea that, you know, maybe just like treating people as if they have a virus is actually really good at helping them not die. Maybe that's the early treatment. And, you know, again, as supportive as I am, I still maintain my judgment, my reservation, I should say, I still reserve judgment. You know, America's frontline doctors and others, and this makes me sound like a little bit of a heretic, especially because I'm writing stuff, but I'm just saying, when I look at these when I look at these, you know, like Joe Rogan, when he caught the Rona, you know, a month and a half ago or whatever, and it went all viral about Joe Rogan beat it in a day or something. He talked about the regimen that he went on. He took, I think he took like a Z-Pak and like prednisone and ivermectin. That's like a mini dose of chemo, for goodness sake. When somebody prescribes you prednisone, it's like, it's a pretty big deal. I mean, it's that is no small feat. And, you know, it's one of those things you shouldn't even take for too long because it might make your, it's one of those antibiotics that actually makes your, or I'm sorry if it's not, might be an antibiotic. It makes your actual joints weak and it's so strong. So I don't know. Well, enough of talking about this because we're going to get Dr. Rob to weigh on this more on the side of the break. I want to talk about something here coming out of Australia. And of course, coming out of Australia, it's some crazy information. And that's why we need to open up the detention hall right now. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to send somebody to the gulag.
Welcome to the gulag.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Northern Territory, the, what's his name? Michael Gunner, Northern Territory Chief Minister. If you don't know anything about Australia, Northern Territory is a Northern Territory. It's very warm and hot up there, actually. And I have the, what's it called? The statistics open right now in front of me from Northern Territory government regarding COVID-19. It's not a very populated place, okay? I don't know if there's a million people in the whole Northern Territory. I'm not sure. Because I'm looking at the numbers, it says 278,000 total vaccinations